hacia ellos, no es como si fueran trabajadores voluntarios, sino como trabajadores asalariados, se les despide. En este sentido, incluso nosotros lo que veíamos, ¿no?, es que si ellos no estuvieran en el Walmart, tendrían muchos problemas, porque el tiempo de salida, ¿no?, y de atención en las cajas, tendrían que ampliar la cantidad de cajas para poder estar sacando la misma cantidad de clientes en el tiempo que ahorita están saliendo. Entonces son fundamentales para el funcionamiento en México de los Walmart, estos chicos que empacan los productos, pero que no tienen ninguna protección social por parte de Walmart. Es una explotación que se está haciendo de los chicos y de la necesidad de la gente.
Walmart obtuvo el 19 de mayo del 2004 la licencia para construir una tienda de autoservicios en Teotihuacán, 2 meses antes de que iniciara la supuesta investigación en la zona arqueológica. En 1987, Teotihuacán fue catalogado por la UNESCO como Patrimonio de la Humanidad. Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
If you get up in the morning, if you like to see the sun come up, if you like to have your coffee in the dark, then Free Radio needs you. We need someone to come in, download some shows, put them on the air. To download the shows in the morning, you need to be here at the studio by about 7 o'clock. Send us an email to frsc@freakradio.org and put morning person in the subject line. That way, Democracy Now! Can go on the air at 8 o'clock. All our other programs start at 7:30. And, of course, our morning programs on Monday, Thursday, and Friday would also be heard. Get in touch with us as soon as you can. Let us know what day or days you can be a Free Radio morning person. And once again, that email address, frsc@freakradio.org.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM. Amen. FM, hallelujah.
It's meant for Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're looking for a new studio. We'd like to be near downtown. It's 24-hour access. Of course, a bathroom would help. We need about 250 square feet. We'd like it to be roughly $300 a month. Utilities included, that would be great, not necessary. We don't want a parking tax, but we do want security. We want it dry, and we want it clean. We want a nice, clean, pristine office environment we can put our equipment in and have our shows broadcast daily. If you've got a rental or an office space, or you know of a realtor that has offices available, we're looking at anything in downtown Santa Cruz area. If you're able, give us a call. What's the number again?
Call 831-427-3772 or email frsc@freakradio.org. Thank you.
Fun coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 101.3 FM. It's Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, the January 6th, 2013 show. Hey, hey, we're into the new year. No special guests in the studio today, but a number of lookbacks, and at 11 o'clock I will be playing the complete, unedited, and full version of the Santa Cruz 11 / Linda LeMaster First Amendment issue forum that we had beginning of last month on community TV. And then at noon, I'm hoping to hear from Keith McHenry, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, who said he'd be calling in and actually wrote a couple of emails to that effect. So I think he's actually going to do it this time. Sometimes he does, sometimes he gets too busy or he's on the road or all kinds of problems, but not this time. So stay tuned for that. Also hoping to hear from Brianna Brewer, who may not be able to come. She's not able to come in, but she may be able to call in. She's the person whose actual court decision resulted in, not a precedent, but at least a favorable indication, a check on police abuse on Pacific Avenue regarding homeless people and service dogs, or actually just poor people and street performers and service dogs. I don't think Brianna is actually homeless, although she consorts with homeless people. She may be calling in to talk about her upcoming case where the police, it seems, retaliated against her court victory by giving her a ticket for disturbing the peace when she tried to essentially confront one of the so-called hospitality, as they call themselves, the hosts downtown, a woman named Denise Miller, who approached her and again, according to Brianna's account, harassed her for her service animal, even after this decision overturning three dog tickets, which I've talked about in the past. Anyway, all that's coming up. Again, 11 o'clock, we're going to have the audio of the community TV, and at 12 o'clock, perhaps, Keith McHenry. So stay tuned. Your phone calls are welcome, particularly in the next hour and a half. The phone number here is 831-427-3772. 427-3772. So do call in. I want to hear from you, particularly if you have any street reports, any reactions to the kind of material I'm discussing, which has to do with poor and homeless people, mostly in Santa Cruz, but elsewhere as well. I've got a thick sheaf of clippings I'm going to try to some extent address, give you a couple of personal reactions, apropos of nothing except my personal opinions, which, hey, you've got some too. So 427-3772 is the number to call if you want to express them on the air. Let's take a musical breather, and I will be right back and talk at you some more.
They caught the last poor man, man's vacation. They cuffed him and they confiscated his stuff, and they dragged this black ass down to the station and said, okay, streets are safe now, all your pretty white children can come out and see Spider Run. And they came out their houses and they looked around, but they didn't see no one in my country. 'Tis of they to take swings at each other on talk show TV. Why don't you just go ahead and turn off the sun? 'Cause we'll never live long enough to undo everything they've done to you. Undo everything they've done to you. And above 96th Street, their hands, smallpox blankets, so people don't freeze. The old dogs have got a new track to call, criminalize the symptoms while you spread the disease. And I hold on hard teeth when I'm sleeping. I wake up and my jaw aches, and the earth is full Should have known better than to try to escape. I ran away with the circus. Is there still some honest work left for bearded ladies? But it's not the same going down to town since they put everyone in jail except the cleavers and the braiders. And my country tis a thing to take swing to each other. Talk show TV. Why don't you just go ahead, turn off the sun, 'cause we'll never live long enough undo everything they've done to you. Undo everything they've done to you.
And actually, that was from a prior show, but now you're tuned to Hell. I'm live on Free Radio, and you're live listening to me. And this is Bathrobs Piers Broadsides for January 10th, 2013. I think that's the date today, 7th, 8th, 9th, yeah, the 10th. I'm going to be actually doing a show today. I had told some people I was considering skipping town, but I'm not. I'm going to be here for the next 2 hours. So if you decide you want to call in, you have some comments on anything that's happened in the last week or the last year, for that matter, around civil rights for homeless folks here in Santa Cruz, please feel free to call in. Also, breaking news. Free Radio is always interested in breaking news. Donations. Feel free to throw your dollars at Free Radio. We're looking for a new studio as ever. Still haven't got one, and I'm going to give you the same information. My apologies for those who've heard it before. We're looking for a place near downtown with 24-hour access, bathroom access, about 150 square feet. Hopefully less than $300 a month. I know that's pushing it, but that's the budget story. Looking for utilities included if possible, no parking tax, and something that is secure and dry and so forth. And that is what Free Radio needs, and that's what we want, and that's what that will keep us going. We got some of our dues, because all our members pay dues, and we are continuing the broadcast, as you may notice, and that's great, but I can't promise for how much longer. So it's another one of those wah, 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 please send money. If you want more information, go to freakradio.org. That's the website for Free Radio, freakradio.org. You can also find the stream there by clicking on the red dot on the transmission tower at freakradio.org. So I'm Robert Norris, and you may be whoever you are. And the call-in number here is 831-427-3772, 427-3772. I have no special guest planned for tonight. I do plan to have Jim Gottstein on the air at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Jim Gottstein is a psychiatric rights advocate from Alaska who I've had on the show some years back. He's been struggling with a lot of concerns, particularly for the rights of minors who are facing forced drugging, and he's going to be talking to us. I think he's maybe calling from Alaska or maybe calling from somewhere else, but he will be calling at 11 o'clock on the Sunday show, which runs from 9:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. These shows are also archived in case you miss them and you want to get a review of what happened. You can go to the Homeless United website, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is at huffsantacruz.org, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, one word, small letters, .org. And it's getting beefed up thanks to the good work of Swami and Valerie, who are working hard on that website. Thank you both for your work. I'm going to begin by, it's been really kind of a busy week for me and for a number of other people. We've been concerned with the Santa Cruz 11 persecutions and prosecutions that have been continuing and are going to be continuing, unfortunately, onward and downward. The judge did drop three from the prosecutions for the moment, depending on whether the DA decides to refile charges, which I'm not imagining she plans to do, but you can never tell. It's my suspicion that she's going to try to focus on the four who... and not for any particularly good reason, are still remaining in the court docket. And I'm going to be talking about them later. But first, there was a benefit for the Santa Cruz 11 this last Sunday. And I did some taping there. People made some eloquent speeches. We're going to be hearing some of those, and I'll be talking about that. If you're real eager to know what happened to the Santa Cruz 11, well, it's in the headlines of the Sentinel. It's on the Santa Cruz patch if you have a computer and you can get online. It's also on Santa Cruz Indie Media, where I've written my own comments about the trial, and I'll be talking about it, you know, as usual. But I hate to give so much attention to issues that we've been forced to spend inordinate amounts of time going over and over and over because we have to defend ourselves from the repression by the district attorney's office, essentially against the Occupy Santa Cruz movement. Let's begin by hearing some other voices from these events. And again, I even have some doubts as to whether I should be focusing on this at all. I think street reports should take precedence because people out there are freezing. The temperatures are dropping way low tonight and tomorrow. And there's no such thing as a warming station in Santa Cruz. There is an armory you can go to if you're one of the first 100 people to get there. And you can, I think the Pauley Loft is still open if you happen to have gotten on the sign-up list and your name happens to come up and you're one of the lucky 46. But other than that, people are outside, and if you're outside, you face the sleeping ban. And I had a little brief chat meeting with council member, newly elected council member Micah Posner before the show. I was trying to get information from him about how things are coming along with the return of bikes from the bike dojo to the bike church, which has been cut off by the Santa Cruz Police Department from the bike distribution that it's been doing for the last 5 or 6 years or longer. And unfortunately, Micah is playing the bureaucrat's game of the old hush-hush, I'm not going to talk about it all, I'm working on it sort of thing. And, you know, those who have faith in such things will say, oh, well, you know, give this guy a chance, he just got into office. Those who are more skeptical, like myself, say, oh, this looks not good to me. But, you know, we'll see what happens. All I know is that for months and months, Micah put a damper on this whole issue during the campaign. Again, he wants to work behind the scenes, you know. This attempt to work behind the scenes I've seen with respect to the police department from many different groups, and it rarely turns out well. It can. It has, on occasion, turned out okay. I believe there was a tolerated campground in the early 90s, in the back 40, through a deal between... I'm trying to remember the police officer's name who made a deal with... the meal provider, Karen Gillette, who then became the head of the Homeless Community Resource Center, which transmogrified into the current Homeless Lack of Services Center, as I call it. I think it was Donahue, Michael Donahue. That's not the right name. Donahoe. I'll come back to me at some point. But there was a somewhat tolerated Back 40 campground there during the summer, spring, and fall during those years. And that was a kind of an informal agreement with the police department. And good for them for that period of time, but also good for the activists that created so much trouble. Those are the high points of homeless activism, often in the early 90s. Homes Not Jails, Food Not Bombs became formed. Since then, however, I've seen the demise of the Citizens Police Review Board because they attempted to play too much footsie with the police. And then when they actually stood up, the city council destroyed them and ended their even the existence of the Citizens Police Review Board in 2003. You know, it's... If you're on board with the police department's agenda, they're all happy with you. If you're not, then you have to really rouse the public sentiment to make them aware to back off. And the DIY parade, for example, in New Year's, that happened. There were no... as I heard very few or... I don't know about the actual New Year's Eve after the DIY parade, but I didn't hear of any incidents during the DIY parade, and I haven't heard of any citations since, which shows that the threats of Steve Clark and Kathy Agnon and perhaps, I don't know if Kevin Vogel's made statements, he's the police chief, Clark is the deputy chief, but in any case, I'm going to be playing shortly after, of course, your phone calls. Yo, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hi, Robert. Is it okay?
I don't know. What have you got to tell us, caller? This, again, is a radio show. We talk issues here. What's your issue?
Well, what do they call these community service wards they set up in every community funded through the federal government, okay? And in my community, there is a policy to put the person back into their home.
I'm sorry, Clark, can you speak up a bit? I'm having trouble hearing you.
There is a policy to put people into their home, if at all possible, if they get out of a mental hospital or whatever.
And you're actually, you're calling from another state, yes?
Yes.
Where are you calling from, caller?
Virginia.
Virginia? And, you know, we've talked a little bit about your situation. You have been forcibly installed in some kind of halfway house or boarding care
deal.
No, this
is an assisted living place where old people live. And they're all 90-something.
How old are you?
I am only 64.
Uh-huh. Well, you sound pretty articulate. What put you in this situation? How did you...
I walked out without an insurance card. If I walked out with an insurance card, I would have had 5 days of hospitalization from United Healthcare, because the policy I had was from Cultural Alliance.
What were you doing in the hospital in the first place?
I was manic, but a lot of people are bipolar.
What does this mean? Forgive me for interrupting. I do a lot of that, and I try to bear with me. What does it mean for in your experience to be manic? Because this is sort of
feel great. You feel on top of the world.
Uh-huh. And how did this end up putting you in either a psychiatric ward or a psychiatric hospital or whatever?
I had a next door neighbor on the fabulous Democratic, administration, who decided that because I was financially suffering, I couldn't pay my taxes, and I was yelling at the bank, the bank that you call if you get a credit card or whatever.
So let me understand it. You were having financial problems. You were verbalizing those problems. The next-door neighbor thought you were wild and crazy and called the cops?
Yes. Called the fire department.
The fire department. And you weren't setting fire to anything, though, were you?
No. I called because they had no power many times. Power lines were down. And I called non-emergency. and I went out on the balcony because cell phones don't work near an airport.
Mm-hmm. What was the? Why were you calling? What was your concern?
There was a power line down.
Okay, and this was
live
when?
Live wire.
How long ago was this?
It was 2010 in April.
Okay, and this was in Virginia.
Yes.
So, and you owned
and
you owned your own home at that time, and were living in your own home.
I know. I was living in a part condominium.
Condominium. Okay.
And I also owned a house that I rented out to a military man. I like military because we got a housing.
But so when the fire department came and what they said, she's wild and crazy. She's having a great time, but we think
I didn't say there was a fire. I asked and said there was a power line down.
You said there was a power line down, and so
yeah,
when they
and it
came,
happened in this right, in this so, lousy facility over I shouldn't use that word this facility over the summer. And they don't have a backup generator for the room.
So you were concerned about it. You can't see. So you and they thought you were crazy. So they put you away in a ward.
Well, he called and said I was crazy.
And so, as a consequence, have you then been held in these kinds of psychiatric facilities since then?
I was held in a psychiatric hospital.
Uh huh. For how long?
13 months.
And
then somebody who was set up there because they're under a consent decree from the Justice Department. And the Attorney General, who is a conservative, decided that he was going to shut it down. I mean, it
shut down the facility that you were in.
Yeah. And then they had a person who was a patient peer bridger. And she made complaint against the doctor that kept holding me and holding me.
Well, you're no longer in that facility, I take it.
No.
So I'm trying to
at least I have my own room where I don't catch urinary tract infections from roommates who blow their nose on toilet paper.
Sounds pretty icky. But so you were held for how long were you in this facility? You were 13 months,
13
you said.
13 months.
And then what happened?
Then the only way I thought I knew that they had that policy of taking people who were impaired or older or whatever the hell it was, and keeping their homes open and putting them in their own home in the condominium that I owned. I had to sell my house that the tenant lived in because I opened my big mouth and I was told by a woman who was in recreation that, yeah, she liked to eat bagels in the morning and I'd sit and talk with her.
Well, Let me ask you this, Margie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's your name. You are Margie, caller. I want to make sure I'm giving you the right designation
here.
So, Margie, because we have spoken earlier, we talked a bit about the situation and I understand some of it. Were you held against your will for 13 months, or did you have the option to leave this facility? What was the story there?
I was held against my will.
Against your will. As what? A danger to yourself? A danger to others? A disabled?
No, in Virginia, it said if you could be.
If you could be?
A danger to others.
Could be a danger to others. Now, had you...
law, which is probably unconstitutional.
Did you have you actually ever been taken to court for any kinds of assaults on other people or anything of that sort?
No.
Have you ever been convicted of any crimes that you wish
the
to...
The crime was supposedly to call the fire department with a false alarm.
False alarm, I see.
And then it was NGRI, not guilty by reason of insanity, because when that kind of thing happens, I clam up. I don't say a word. I just don't say anything.
So after 13, you got out of this facility, what, about 2011, 2012 sometime?
It was March 28th, 2012.
This last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
been here almost a year now.
You'd also been put under a conservatorship of some kind or a guardianship?
Guardianship. The guardian, through a friend of mine, said that I would have all these freedoms, and one of the nurses said that I should go here or there myself, and when she was gone, they called me back, called my guardian, and said that I was going out on the street yelling.
So let me ask you this. When were you put under... When were you put under...
I was told through a friend...
Wait a minute.
Communicated with my guardian.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second there, caller. When were you put under this guardianship? While you were still in this other facility? And
yeah.
Did you get a... What kind of a defense were you able to... Did you take it? You didn't really want to be under the guardianship, or were you actually in favor of that?
They got a guardianship so they could medicate.
I mean, did you have a court hearing on this issue?
Yeah.
And, I mean, were you resisting it? Did you hire an attorney to defend yourself against
it? They appoint an attorney, and
Were you forcibly medicated during this time?
Yes.
What kind of medications were they giving you?
They gave me Ativan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They tried everything, including Abilify, and that made me manic, and I couldn't sleep at all. I have a whole list.
Are you currently forcibly being medicated?
No, but if I don't take my meds, you know, I would.
So you're taking your meds under protest.
No, I'm taking my meds because
you think they're helpful.
I think they are, but they damage your liver.
What meds are you taking?
Depakote, Ambien. I don't mind because I can't sleep without it. I fall into a world of dreams. You know,
so,
like,
I mean, do you consider yourself ill or disabled yourself in terms... I mean, do you think...
No, anybody can control bipolar by taking a few meds. And the Mental Health Center believes in the lowest possible dosage.
Are you being held in this current... What kind of a facility are you in now?
This is assisted living with a lot of old people. The building is not... There are engineers here at the building. You put a, I asked one guy.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this a place you want to be?
I want to go home.
And do you have a home to go to?
I have a condo. They're keeping it open.
So what...
On my money.
Now, at the current time, because this this guardianship, or is it a conservatorship? I'm not sure. Or what is it? Is this guardianship for you requires that this guy, this person, the man or woman who is your guardian... consent to your leaving
woman
this
is okay because I can talk to her.
So can you, your problem is that you can't get this person to agree to have you leave the facility you're in?
Well, the man who is bombastic and whom...
Do you have two people who are taking care of this situation?
But the woman is really assigned the case.
So let me see if I understand. You actually got two people handling a guardianship for you? Or?
But she is really assigned to my case.
Do you have two people handling this situation? It sounds like you do, right?
Yeah, but the woman, man is the one that...
Who has the ultimate power in this situation?
They can either one, but when they get really mad here at the horrible social worker who ripped me off that they hired, they ripped me off for $1,300 with a caregiver, took me out when it was 105 degrees, rolled the windows up, and said that she had no driver's license when she was stopped right out of here. And I had nothing but the key that I wanted for so many months. The key means nothing.
So it sounds like...
Come into your place now.
You know, it sounds like...
Sit down and they say, I want a present.
So let me interrupt you because it sounds like this is only one of the number of concerns that you expressed to me earlier.
I want to be alone. That's very good. Quiet at night so I can sleep.
You want to be back in the condominium that you were previously living in.
Here is better than...
You want to be back in the condominium you were previously living in? Is that accurate? Is that right?
But all my stuff is gone.
Is that accurate? Is that what you want done?
Yes.
Okay.
They brought, thank God.
When you make that request of either of these two people who are in control of you, what do they tell you?
That all of it, there was a girl at the mental health center who was a temp that they fired. And this other girl who worked for the firm that ripped me off Okay.
I'm gonna cut in because what I'm saying is, what do they say? Will they let you do it or not? And if they won't, why not?
Because I have to learn to take the meds myself.
So they're afraid. They're afraid.
Nobody on respite.
They're afraid. They're afraid you're not going to take your medication if you're in your condominium.
But the point is that it's administered differently. You're given a prescription and you go have it filled.
You know, I got to tell you, caller, I'm not a fan of medication, so I understand some people, you're saying you may find them helpful. Is there a concern that you'll mistakenly not be able to take medication or that you will willfully decide it's not a good idea?
No, I don't think I'll do that.
What is their concern? What do they tell you?
Their concern is that this crazy girl that they fired and complained about was suggested that I take my meds myself, the mental health center. And it's impossible. It's impossible because there's this big nurse who says only she can order the meds.
So let me.
And I had a lockbox that was.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let's jump back here for a minute to your caller. You are telling these two people who control your life because of the legal situation you're in now that you want to go back to the condominium, that you're willing to take the medications that supposedly are necessary, and then some of which you find to be helpful. Is that correct?
I've been taking them and taking them and taking them.
Are you interested? But the point is, I mean, I couldn't care less whether you take them or don't take them. I'm trying to understand why they're not letting you do what you want to do. That's my concern.
Well, the woman is now... You know, the woman wants.
In other words, what I also would like to find out.
The mental health center refuses to admit now that girl that they fired, okay, ruthlessly fired.
So
and her suggestion.
They being who? They being who?
The community services board.
So the facility you were in fired the person who you thought was a helpful worker? Is that?
No. The community services board fired her.
Anyway, we're getting a little bit lost in this, and we're talking not just between the two of us,
but we're
talking to a whole bunch of people out there. So I'm going to try to focus on this here.
And
what I'm trying to focus on. And you got it? Are you there? Can you hear me?
They trap.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I understand a part of the story, and I think I've talked to you about this before. We talked about this on a couple of occasions, not all these details. But my suggestion to you is, as I've told you,
I could fire the community services board and get an in-house doctor that'll really keep you here, and that guy gives Percodan and
so. In any case, I'm not quite clear what exactly it is that's your specific complaint right now. And what you specifically want to tell us about that might be, you know, educational to those of us out here on the West Coast.
I am here until all my money runs out, and then I don't know where I'm going. Manassas.
So you feel you're being exploited in some way in this situation? You don't want to be there, you're saying.
I am caught between a rock and a hard spot. I try to keep my profile small because these people call me in and call me a liar if I say anything about any of the staff.
So you don't have a good high opinion of the staff here.
Well, it depends on who in the staff.
I understand. I mean, at least I hear you.
And I said that to this woman who transferred, she got the other girl fired. She took her job. She came from the
firm. The details of this are not something that we can really. The details of this are not something we can really get into here, you know. Because what I want to suggest is that you know I'm looking for ways that you can actually ways you can actually get something done for yourself here, and I don't have.
I am caught. I have to manipulate one, manipulate the other.
So my question to you is,
to survive.
Anyway, so you know, it sounds like a difficult situation. I appreciate your having called in. My suggestion to you is that you, again, write this up. If you have a series of grievances and concerns that you want corrected, to write them up. And to you really need, it sounds like you need some friends outside who are in Virginia. I mean, some of us on the West Coast are, you know, we might be sympathetic.
Well, when I was
we might be sympathetic in some ways, but, you know, we're far away.
Showed up. And I also called someone from Virginia, and this guy...
In any case, that's really all I can tell you right now, and I am kind of
only supposed to be under.
And I we're having trouble communicating too, because it sounds like you can hear me a little bit, but not entirely. I can hear you a little bit. Hello.
What they did was.
So in any case, I'm going to have to move on at this point. I'll give you the last word though, if you'd like.
This and that and bad mouthed me to my lawyer, and it never occurred to me to call her and give my advice.
So, caller, thank you for calling in. And again, my suggestions are that you probably need to change the people who are handling your situation if they're not handling it properly. And I guess at some point, I would like to, if you can find, if there's actually broader concerns that other people in this.
Yes.
If there are broader concerns that other people in this facility have. Maybe you can get together with them and do some kind of joint action, because that often can be the most effective approach.
We're set up under a federal law.
So anyway, that's all I got for you right
funded.
Now.
What they do is...
So I'm leaving.
They try
You take care
sell.
Of yourself, caller, because I've got to go. And I'll tell you what we'll do. I really want to end the call. So if you want to say anything for the last few moments, what do you want to say?
Understand what I'm saying?
I'm leaving you now, caller. So, no, I'm catching only a part of what you're saying, but I'm...
These community services board were set up by a federal act and federally funded, okay, and...
It's not something that we have enough understanding of. It takes too long, frankly, to explain on this show, and,
well,
I guess what I'm trying to get to at the bottom line is what kind of assistance are you looking for from, let's say, the general public, if any?
The general public should understand how the system works.
Well, they don't. I don't think they give a shit about Virginia, but maybe insofar
as the whole world, the whole nation has these community service boards.
Okay.
And I heard through the grapevine that under Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver and all the Kennedy,
that's a long time ago.
That state was one of the worst.
Well, I will consider that, and I think, insofar as you learn more information about California, do let us know what's going on, and thank you.
Oh, hell yes.
And thank
I know
you.
A whole lot about and, California.
Well, we'll talk about that another time, and thank you for calling in. And that was a longer call than I expected, but it can be a difficult situation for someone being held or... finding themselves in a essentially a coerced situation in a psychiatric ward. It's also difficult to sometimes to focus the conversation in a limited period of time. But that's what I was trying to do, and now I'm going to turn to, again, as I said before, we had a Sunday benefit for the Santa Cruz 11, and that is what I'm going to turn to next. By the way, regarding the situation of people here, if you yourself are being held in a situation where you're in a locked ward, or you know someone who is, you feel it's being unfair, we have, I'm not terribly happy with the kind of protections people have in Santa Cruz around this issue, and I'd like to know more about it. Do call in if you've got some comments to make about that. 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC. Free Radio Santa Cruz, or you can call me off-air if you want to talk off-air at 423-4833, 423-4833. Again, back to the case of the folks who went to court this week. Seven of us did. The judge dismissed another three cases, after having dismissed earlier four cases, leaving four people left in the ongoing get the Occupy autonomous group that went into the building, even if they weren't part of an autonomous group, but they just happened to be in the building, a vacant bank building that was briefly occupied for 3 days by activists in November and December of last year. Wells Fargo leased building. And let's hear some more of this. You'll hear more about it. And if you haven't been following it, you'll probably pick it up as we hear some of this tape. Some of the initial conversations are, I kind of work around a number of issues, as you can hear by having heard this last caller. And so it's not all going to be about one subject, but let's begin.
We're on the sidewalk talking with...
Hello.
And
hi.
So hello and hi. You have instruments with you in front of... you don't have instruments? Where you got machine guns in there?
Cases.
Good point. I don't know what's in those cases. Does anyone know what... Perhaps even you are unclear.
No.
Schrodinger's cat, you know.
No idea.
No, indeed. Okay. So what music are we likely to hear here today? Because I understand you two have been employed at an incredible wage to assist in the Santa Cruz 11 benefit here.
Yeah, I heard there will be snacks. And
heard, but your musicians are supposed to play, not eat. It's not good for the
well, you get the greasy fingers, but there are ways to combat that.
Yeah.
It helps the slide, though. I mean, with the fiddle, you got to be able to grease up that fretboard.
You know, it looks like you have two different instruments. It's suspiciously banjo-esque, and this thing looks like something out of the, Z, the movie or something.
Yeah, I don't really know how to play this, but I'm going to learn.
It's a weird-looking implement. And you have, that looks like a violin case. Is there some kind of a small Tommy gun in there?
I think there might just be,
a weapon of some kind.
Yeah, I'm not really, this isn't really a violin, and I don't know exactly what
this
it is.
It's actually a desperado reenactment.
Well, why don't you come inside? You probably have a little chilly out here. And those are two individuals who are playing for the Santa Cruz 11 benefit. It is now about 3:30, and the benefit is scheduled to start in front of Trader Joe's on Front Street. So far...
That's actually India Joe's. Trader Joe's is a block or two away.
Only a smattering of people, but tasty-looking snacks. So we're talking with Faustino, a newly arrived old figure from Santa Cruz who's been traveling around the world and has now returned to be homeless in Santa Cruz. Are you just inflicting yourself on the city?
No, I didn't come specifically to be homeless. I came to enjoy the city of Santa Cruz and its social ambiance, and I find that things are worse here than when I left. I mean, you have private security guards policing public spaces downtown. I don't know. I would think there's something in the Constitution about that.
Constitution, you're such a kidder.
You know, I mean, are they even going to farm out to the judges to private corporations?
What do you mean, are they going to? It's all the rage.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know. I just feel sadness most of all, you know, because so many people who want to be idealistic, they're really acting out of fear, it seems. So, but in any case, I'm here supporting the Santa Cruz 11 because this is a particularly egregious case, which is they've turned a simple kind of squat act into like the most egregious felony charges, so they really want to stick it to these people.
Yes, I being one of them, I can not but agree with you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I that's why I'm here at India.
And I'm glad you're here. I mean, I know that you left town after having done your own protest downtown Santa Cruz.
Right.
You were, of course, criminally present at a table for more than an hour while seeking what signatures around the Pacific Trading Company or something like that.
Right.
The clown next to you have been doing it for an hour and a half, but they went after you instead of the clown.
And there's actually I'm speaking literally when I say the clown. I'm talking about Mr. Twister. And we're talking about an incident that happened in 2003 in front of the Pacific Trading Company down on Pacific Avenue. Pacific Trading Company engineered along with the police department, they were able to get the police department to spend $6,000 of its money to move 4 inches the railing on the fence around the large planter in front of the Pacific Trading Company and Rosie McCann's I guess it's Betty's Burgers. Is that the name of the place that's there now? So that people would not be able to sit down on the flat surface, the kind of waist-high surface of the planter. And a lot of us felt this was a privatization of public space. This was an attack on street performers and musicians. This was an attempt by the Pacific Trading Company to drive away people from in front of the area that they didn't like, and essentially also to clamp down on street culture. And when we set up a table there and began to petition the community and the city council around the issue, they tried to use the so-called move-along law every hour that said you can't have a table there for more than an hour. Not because somebody else wanted the space, not because there was any problem of any kind, but because they simply wanted to eliminate that protest in front of the Pacific Trading Company against the city's collusion with the Pacific Trading Company in privatizing a large section of seating space, which has disappeared even more on Pacific Avenue in the intervening 10 years. And this guy, who you hear talking, was one of the first people arrested that they actually carried off into a squad car because he said, I have a right to table. Another person who was dragged off was an activist named Steve Argue, who's been on my show before. He's run for city council a couple times. But they did not take away Mr. Twister the Clown, who was doing his thing 10 feet away, even though it was exactly the same ordinance that he was violating, which is having a display device for more than an hour, because, you have to ask the police department why they didn't take him away. Probably because he wasn't political, and therefore they had no objection to his behavior. But, of course, that shouldn't be a consideration, yet it was and is. No charges were ever filed against this guy, and Steve Argue beat the charges in court. But there was no injunctive relief gotten that would stop the use of this one-hour move-along law, and it is still all the rage with the cops downtown to make it really difficult for people to be there, whether they're street jewelers or musicians or activists setting up tables. And they use this law quite selectively. You don't see Democratic Party people, for instance, being told to move along when they're registering voters. Let's hear some more.
The clown being, of course, the infamous Mr. Twister.
Yeah, but there's good, there's good impulse. Basically, I think a lot of people's impulses are good. You know, there's the Occupy movement here in America, and I was involved in the so-called Indignados movement in Spain, and people really want an alternative to business as usual.
Tell me about the Indignados movement in Spain.
Well, Spain is going through a real fiscal crisis now because the whole... economic model of the European Union has hit one of the big roadblocks in capitalism, and it's kind of fallen into crisis. So in Spain especially, a lot of young people have no future, and all of these countries are going, you used to be able to get universal medical care in Europe. This was like one of the hallmarks of the European social welfare system. And now they're saying, look, just go home and die. You know, because the whole EU model has fallen apart. So the Indignados are the young people that are protesting against the IMF and the European Union coming in to manage their lives.
Austerity, in order to reassure the banks that all will be well.
Right, of course, because the bankers have to get theirs first, so...
Well, naturally, otherwise there'd be bad credit. We can't have that.
Yeah, and if you want to see... Now I know there's the whole thing about the Santa Cruz 11 is a public... a building that has been laying empty for years and years, which could be used for some social purpose on 75 River Street. In Spain, they had such a real estate bubble, they have a whole apartment development, a whole, like, Levittown city of 10,000 apartments that is totally empty, yet at the same time they have extortionate high rents, so people can't even get an apartment in Barcelona.
Well, we only want the best people in our apartments.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's what's going on. But things aren't so different now between Europe. Europe and the United States.
Now, you, when you left, you had a serious form of cancer, did you not?
Yeah. Thank goodness I've been in pretty good health so far. So, you know, I'm just...
Have you been getting unusual treatments, or is just a thing, things been good to you?
A lot of mojitos and Cuba Libres.
Mamma mia. Your own approach.
Yeah.
Staying away from doctors, I suppose.
No, I like to drink with them, too.
Drink with the doctors. Well, I guess that's the best thing to do with a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to say your real name, but for the very few people who might remember you by a sort of a clue, you were one of two people. First, Steve Argue went, and then you, I guess you both went about the same time, hauled into the same squad cars, or...
Yeah, I guess so.
Pacific Avenue. That was back way back when, but I'm not going to tell your real name at this time.
Okay, thanks.
We've been talking with...
Faustino from Spain.
Thank you, Faustino.
Okay, you're
from Spain.
Very welcome.
You've lost your accent, Faustino. So, again, we're talking with...
Faustino.
And Faustino, you say you lived in a squat in Holland for 8 months.
Right, but there the system is fluid as well, because... Squatting was considered, of empty buildings, was considered a human right in Holland for years and years. And only this last year, under the center-right government, did they pass a law in the Dutch legislature that brings Dutch real estate law more closer to American standards in terms of squatting empty buildings.
Making it more difficult.
It is technically illegal, but it's something the Dutch are good on tolerance, meaning they don't explicitly legalize marijuana, but they tolerate it. So now the squatting movement is under the rubric of tolerance. So There is a trend amongst young Dutch people studying in universities that they've been infected by the bug of American business school mores, and they want to be more like Americans.
Profits,
exactly.
Dividends,
exactly.
Derivatives.
Yeah. So the squatting movement is. Well, like I mentioned earlier about these enormous cities that are lying empty in Spain, so in Holland there isn't that volume of empty properties, and squatting is easier. But at the same time, there's an assault on grassroots. Grassroots actions throughout Europe at this time.
So was there a change in how police were treating you as a squatter during that 8 months?
No.
How about your neighbors?
This place was in an industrial area, so there was no problems with the neighbors.
Did you have hot water?
Central heating? This is the thing. So people think when you say squat in Holland, that it's like, if you ever saw that movie Midnight Cowboy, and he's living in this abandoned building in the Lower East Side, and it's dirty, and people, there's junkies and everything that are...
The squat I was in the Lower East Side in 1996.
Uh-huh.
Even though Midnight Cowboy was 1969 or 70 or something.
Yeah. But the squat movement in Holland has such a tradition and a history that there are a lot of people that they go into an empty property and they fix it up. You know, they put in their own electrical wires and they fix the plumbing and so on, so to make it quite a habitable place. And there's senses of real community as well. There's also some things going on in Germany at the same time. So there is a tension. There is a dynamic tension now between the forces of capitalism and the forces of community action.
And what made you decide to leave your squad?
Oh, well, I came back just because I was a little...
homesick.
I was a little homesick, right. So now I'm here and I'm enjoying Santa Cruz.
The first alarm, that sort of
thing. Right.
And again, we've been talking with...
Faustino.
Thanks, Faustino. Sorry, Faustino, you're going to conclude.
Yeah, what I was saying about squatting in Europe, the law is migrating towards a more free market system, but the enforcement is nowhere near as draconian as it is in the United States. And if there's a settled community of people that have been there for a while, there are rights under European humanitarian law that people who are in a settled community have a right to housing.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. We're talking with Free Radio aficionado John Malkin, who's wishing everyone happy year and kissing them, but not on both cheeks.
Some on the lips, if they're lucky.
Uh-huh. Has he kissed you on the lips yet?
No, not yet.
All right, let's, very interesting. So, John, you wrote an article on the Santa Cruz 11 some months back.
Yeah, I think about a year ago.
And then it was published again in Street Spirit, the newspaper.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, I was happy about that.
And then you, have you written anything further? Had any recent thoughts on the Santa Cruz 11?
Well, I wrote a few updates as things kept changing over the year for the Santa Cruz Good Times. I am just hoping that all the charges are dropped for everyone.
Except for me, of course.
Well, I don't have to even say that out loud.
Goes without saying.
No, of course, for you as well. I mean, it's a bizarre situation with bizarre charges. It's also interesting just to notice that the Occupy movement isn't what it was a year ago or 2 years ago, and that maybe...
Well, 2 years ago, there was no Occupy movement.
Yeah, I mean, gone from...
Zero to top to now down, but dispersed into other things.
Dispersed into other things,
well,
yeah.
That's the diplomatic way of putting it. It's actually disappeared as a movement in that way.
Yeah. It is unfortunate in some ways because you folks facing these charges now don't have maybe the broad support that they would have 8 months ago or something.
Regular meetings, large mass get-together.
Yeah. So I'm hoping the best, that things go well, and I want to support people in whatever way I can.
And we will be, of course, hitting you up as much as we can.
Good.
Thank you, John. And we've been talking with?
John Malkin.
Thank you, John. And your show is every?
Wednesday, 7 o'clock.
And what's coming up next?
Wow, I just did some interviews, interesting ones. Godfrey Reggio, who's the film director that made Kiwanis Kotze, this Kotze trilogy, with Philip Glass's music. He has a new film coming out in February called Visitors that is a very unusual film, and it also has Philip Glass's music. I'll be playing an interview with him, and also Ray Manzarek, the keyboardist with the Doors, who I talked to him about punk rock because he produced some punk rock albums years ago. I'll be playing those.
All very apolitical, I might add.
No.
No?
I'm exploring punk rock as a revolutionary movement. which
former revolutionary movement has become aged like some of the rest of it? Well aged, like wine.
I have remained immortal and youthful. I don't know about you.
You're looking good, I must admit. Gray, but good.
What do I do about that gray thing?
Nothing. It becomes
sorry?
You.
Okay, thank
or
you.
Or it is you.
It is.
As I am me, and you are I, and we are, well, we won't get
I'm
into
the walrus.
That. You are a...
Cookie, ca-choo.
Cookie, cuckoo, ca-choo, whatever.
Cucumber, chewing cucumbers.
I think you want to sit down somewhere, don't you?
Yes, I think I would like to.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
We're talking with Ken Foster. And Ken, you, I think about 6-8 months ago, you came to Occupy Santa Cruz with a concern about your house being foreclosed on.
Yeah, well, it was listed as foreclosed, and we ended up doing a stop foreclosure teach-in at my house. I lived there, I tried to get a loan modification for 2 years, and I lived there at the house for over 2 years without paying mortgage while I was trying to get a loan modification.
Now, what bank held the note?
Chase.
And was the was there a clear title that they had, or was it unclear?
Clear title. And so I kept on trying to get a loan modification. They would never give me one, even though I had showed profit from my own business and blah blah blah. So we had a stop foreclosure teach-in. That was back in May, and then I moved out, and I'm living in Seascape now. I'm renting, and so I lost the house. I lost the permaculture garden that was there at the house.
When was that?
Well, that was in May.
And you said it was a short sale at that point?
Yeah.
And tell the audience what a short sale is.
Well, short sale's a little better than foreclosing, because it means that you don't have any lingering debt. Like with a foreclosure, the bank can come back after you later for unpaid mortgages or unpaid loan.
Sounds like Spain or something.
Yeah, so with the short sale, everybody just says it's finished. And so now I'm teaching permaculture at Cabrillo College, and having a blast.
And you're living on the street or what?
No, I'm renting a house in Seascape.
At a reasonable rate?
Yeah, it's just a cabin, but it's a nice place.
How much are you paying?
Oh, it's $8.75.
We've been talking with
Ken Foster.
Thanks, Ken.
Yes, cheers.
Last question, Ken. Have you heard of anybody else whose homes have been foreclosed on?
Sure. Two people around
here in this room.
Uh-huh.
How many do you see that you know the homes are foreclosed on or in foreclosure?
I think two. One for sure here in the room.
And has that person gone public with their situation or not?
I think so.
Oh, you're talking about Gail, probably. Yeah. Yeah, anybody else that I know?
This woman right here.
I should ask her what's going on.
Sure, but that's already, her house is already gone.
The houses that come and go. Thank you, Ken.
We're going to start that right now. If you'll all just give me your attention, if you would. Most of you know the history.
This is Steve Plage, who's sort of the master of ceremonies at the Sunday India Joe's Santa Cruz 11 benefit.
Many of us here were in Loudoun Nelson Park for the birth of Occupy Santa Cruz, where we committed ourselves to nothing less than changing the world. Many of us were at the Water Street Courthouse steps where we built the AccuDome and partied all night with the community. Many of us were in San Lorenzo Park, where we sheltered and fed scores of our homeless brothers and sisters and forged a new alliance with the homeless community. Many of us here marched and protested and raised awareness on the foreclosure issues and predatory lending that was killing the American dream. And we are still doing that work. And many of us were at 75 River Street, where the idea of repurposing community space, vacant spaces for community use, was born.
Yes.
That idea is still a good idea. That idea is something that the movement should always and still support.
Yeah. Yes.
And we can embrace that idea of occupying vacant spaces without fear. Because regardless of who was in that building during that occupation, there were never any criminals at 75 River. The criminals were then and have always been at 74 River Street. So we're here tonight.
74 River Street, of course, is the location of the Wells Fargo Bank that was open. 75 River Street was the least vacant bank that Wells Fargo had been unable or unwilling to rent. Previously, the Coast Commercial Bank that was then occupied for 3.5 days by, well, initially several hundred people showed up, and 11 people were charged. So far, seven of them have been dismissed. far short of trial as being inadequate evidence to even take the matter to a formal arraignment for a trial on the felony charges.
To celebrate and support our brothers and sisters of the Santa Cruz 11, who tomorrow will be getting complete and absolute vindication. And we are here to testify to that tonight. We are here to celebrate the Santa Cruz 11 individually because they have the courage to stand up for what's right. And they have the fortitude to continue to work for the movement even under the oppressive weight of these prosecutions. Yeah. We also come to celebrate them collectively because for me and for many of us, the Santa Cruz 11 have come to symbolize in our community all that is right with the social justice system and all that is wrong with the criminal justice system. And tomorrow will be the day that the entire community understands that. Because we all know that the Santa Cruz 11 committed no crime, save and except for working and fighting for social and economic justice in a community, in a nation, in a world that has elevated private gain over public good. And if they are guilty of that work, then I stand here and say I am guilty of that work, and we are guilty of that work, and I say that so say we all. And I will say only one more thing, and from my heart to the Santa Cruz 11 and for all the supporters who have spent so much time and energy and love and respect over the last year. Solidarity and justice for the Santa Cruz 11.
Right. I'll second that.
So that was the overview that people wanted me to give about where we have come from and where we are and where we hope to be tomorrow, and that is with all the charges dropped. We have with us this evening some speakers who will give their own unique perspective.
And this speech by Steve Plaich was given last Sunday, the day before the Monday preliminary hearing for seven of us, where three of us were dropped and four of us were forwarded to formal arraignment that will happen later this month. And you'll hear more about this, and you'll be able to read more about this, of course, online. Even the Sentinel story wasn't as bad as it could have been, though there's been some pretty nasty stuff coming out of the mouths of police officers like Deputy Chief Steve Clark and the reporters who are now attacking Judge Paul Burdick for his letting any of us go, so to speak. Of course, what he did was he continued an untenable prosecution by splitting the baby, by letting a few people go and continuing to charge erroneously and fatuously four people who are now going to have to continue to suffer through more of this political prosecution. But here's some more from Steve Plaich announcing the first speaker at the Santa Cruz 11 benefit.
On social and economic justice, Jesse James is here. He will speak. David Bavay, Robert Darcy's attorney in a couple of different matters, and defending the Santa Cruz 11 is here. He will speak. Grant, I believe, wanted to say a couple of words, so we're going to have that as our speakers program this evening. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for being supportive of the Santa Cruz 11. Who would like to start? Jesse?
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, let's have Jesse up. Let me say a couple of words about Jesse. I don't know him well, but I know that he has given all of his love and all of his support to Gabriela during this entire experience, and for me, that's enough for him, to me. Jesse, please.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks. I want to take a second to say thank you to Joe.
Yeah.
wonderful day.
And this is Joe Schultz, the owner of the India Joe's restaurant, who has hosted a number of these benefits. So, to in the face of some hostility from some people in the community, he's himself was arrested for serving free food 20 years ago at the town clock to homeless people who were protesting abusive police treatment of homeless folks and the criminalization of homeless people through the city's sleeping ban, which still continues.
Well, all of us, I think, to see that we're still here and we're still proud and we're still strong. I don't know what else to say except, you know, may all be fed. And however people need to be fed, we need to feed them. However we feel about their ideas or their viewpoints or their lifestyle. And I think that's an important position to maintain for all of us. Tolerance is the one thing that's really in short supply in Santa Cruz, as we know.
Yeah.
And I want to stand up for tolerating all of us, even those of us that aren't here today that think they're on the other side. We want to open up our hearts to everyone. So, thank you.
One more thing about Joseph, which is that, you know, Joseph sometimes gets flack from even taking a stand with us. I'm doing this benefit here tonight. Some people
speaking
on Facebook were very critical of him doing this, but I think it's just so wonderful to have business people who really take a stand and a principled stand and stand up. He was very clear in his responses to those people who were critical of him of what he believed to be a just cause. And I think that's also just very important for us to also, you know, honor him and also to be able to support him and help him thrive in this community like he's wanting us to thrive. So,
go on, Grant.
So I prepared a little thing. I'm pretty nervous about it. I feel honored to have been asked to speak and to receive all of your attention for this little bit of time, so thank you for that. And I just know that I have a lot of respect for everybody in this room and just a lot of appreciation for being here and for this group of people, for this community in Santa Cruz that I appreciate very deeply being a part of. We're here today to acknowledge the Santa Cruz 11. It's not an easy thing to go to court facing felony charges, knowing that what happens in the courtroom may significantly impact your life. It is really hard not to be able to plan your life because you're tied to the courtroom and won't know how things will look a year, 6 months, a few weeks down the road. Let me bring something obvious out into the open. Not everyone fights their charges. The law and courtrooms are wielded by the state to distract, discourage, and discredit dissenters. Prison, jail, large fines, and probation exist as threats as much as they do as punishment. Not everyone can handle it. Let's take a moment to celebrate our friends and honor their strength. Everyone can acknowledge it. As debt increases and budgets fail, the state and big businesses work even harder to protect their assets and keep business as usual running smoothly. With increasingly complicated and expensive technology, the police work not as peacekeepers, but as bullies and thugs. The Occupy movement was tolerated as long as it didn't materially or physically block the function of business. The city tolerates differing ideas until they begin to manifest power, until they seem to present viable alternatives to the current order. The occupation of 75 River was an action that had power because it made sense. Take an empty, unused building in downtown and turn it into not another shiny shopping opportunity, but a place for people to interact and meet their needs without money as an interface. While it was not an Occupy Santa Cruz action, it did mark a shift in the energy of the time. 75 River was a bold statement that said, we deserve more, and we are willing to take it. The Santa Cruz 11 aren't facing charges from the occupation of San Lorenzo Park. They're being absurdly targeted for the challenge that 75 River made to the city of Santa Cruz, Wells Fargo, and business as usual. It makes sense that the city would try to hold someone accountable for what happened. They can't be seen as passive when challenged. Other citizens might find inspiration and start other experiments pushing the law. And the city's relationship to Wells Fargo must remain strong because their money is important. These things make sense because we live in a society that doesn't. Police and state repression happen. We know. But what may be important to highlight is that they are integral aspects of the society as we know it. The police and the law are not tools for the people, but for those in power, and are used everywhere as such. People in Santa Cruz are subject to abuse regularly, the amount simply being related to one's relative privilege. Houseless folks are ruthlessly hunted throughout town. Trans and queer folks, people of color, indigenous people, and the poor live precariously, often at the whim of the officer or judge they come across. Behind Santa Cruz's feel-good veneer is the harsh sickness that spreads the country, that money, property, and power are valued above life itself. Folks nearby in Oakland, San Francisco, and Davis, as well as across the country, from Seattle to St. Louis, were met with violence from the police during their Occupy movements. The repression of radical momentum and the targeting of revolutionary movements is a time-honored tradition of America. Recently, conspiracy charges have been a trend, and it's because of their relatively unspecific nature and the fact that it targets people's relationships. Everyone in this room is conspiring against the city of Santa Cruz.
Yes.
At least in their case against the Santa Cruz 11. In the face of repression, we must not cower, but stand taller. In this state, it is practically impossible not to break laws. Simply talking about how things could be, what is wrong with the way we live can land you in jail. Or, in the context of grand juries, not talking. Four people from the Northwest have been put in jail for simply refusing to answer questions in a grand jury. And just this last week, a friend of ours from Santa Cruz has been subpoenaed to one in San Francisco. Whoa. This game is rigged. And no change of name in any office is going to change that. Judges, prosecutors, cops, laws, they are not set up to work for everybody. They exist to protect and perpetuate order, business as usual. And as long as we endeavor to live as free beings, we cannot fit within that order. We deal with their shit. We must accept that at some point we will probably go to jail. We may even be beat by the police. I can tell you, as someone who has spent time locked up and has been forced away from home for years, that it is not easy. It is incredibly hard at times. But it is also not as horrible as we're led to believe. The fear is the state's greatest tool, silencing and binding us. But let me stand here as proof that we can take what comes in the courtroom and carry on. That they may well put us in prison, but they may never touch our hearts. I see myself in each of you here. I know that you have had your trials, yet here you are. It is the fear that we can dispel together. We are not alone. People are fighting for the space to live all over the world. Gabriella, Brent, Desiree, Angel, Robert, Becky, Cameron, you are not alone. Not now in this room, nor tomorrow in front of the gavel. I am proud to have been asked to speak here tonight, and proud of all of you. Long live the spirit of 75 River. Drop the charges on the Santa Cruz 11 and free all prisoners.
Here, here.
Well said.
Lucky to have one of the attorneys, Santa Cruz 11, David Vivet, who is defending Robert and will be doing his best to defend not only Robert but all of the Santa Cruz 11 tomorrow in court before Judge Burdick. David Vivet, please.
Well, I think that Jason hit the nail on the head. Jason or Jesse?
Jesse.
hit the nail on the head when he said that the police forces and all of the forces of repression that carry the guns are always on the side of power. That's just almost a principle of nature. I just watched a movie recently about underground journalism and camera work in Myanmar in 2007, at a time when the people were afraid to speak out at all or speak anything about politics to each other, anyone else. And it was a very incisive look at where society can go if we don't stop it. This is the end product. In 1995, 3,000 people were killed in the streets for simply marching against the government, a peaceful march. 3,000 people were mowed down. 12 years later, the monks, who are a very important force because they have, it's a devout culture, took to the streets, and they suppressed that. But all of the people came out to support the monks, and even while they were firing automatic weapons at the crowd, people did not disperse. They didn't go away. They stayed. They hung in there. On a somewhat smaller level, that's what we need to do here, because we're not at that point yet, and we hope we never do get to that point. But it's obvious that this prosecution is a political prosecution. They're putting way too much energy into a trespass case for it not to be. They are really, really trying to send a message to all of us not to do what we're doing. You know, my office is in Oakland. There's not much work to do up there, so I'm down here doing this. But Santa Cruz is sort of really stands out for the ridiculousness of its laws and the way the laws are used to harass people.
Yes.
It's far beyond anywhere else I've been, and it needs to stop.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm gonna echo Jesse's prediction that tomorrow this case gets dismissed. Because the law just doesn't support it on any particular. But, you know, that doesn't mean the DA doesn't refile the next day or 2 weeks from now. You know, that's the problem with this. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. But if it does get dismissed tomorrow, I think people really need to get out in the streets to send a message to the DA that we're not going to tolerate a refiling.
Yeah.
We have a great bunch of lawyers and clients, so I know that anything that can be done tomorrow will be done.
Yes.
And thanks everybody for being here, remembering, of course, that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, before Judge Burdick, the preliminary examinations in these cases will start. We need as many people there to pack the courtroom and give them the support as possible. Let's all try to put this on our calendar, make it a priority, show our love, our respect, our solidarity for the Santa Cruz 11. They have stood on the front lines. They have stood on the bastion. They have been standing in place of us in these respects. So let us stand tomorrow for them in their places next to them. Solidarity and justice for the Santa Cruz 11.
You're here.
Early, because somebody will be there at 8 o'clock with banners, and the more people that are standing outside the courtroom, the better.
Yeah. Hey, tell them good.
8 o'clock.
Also, there's a possibility that the preliminary hearing will go until Tuesday. So pay attention and be prepared to be in court on Tuesday as well.
Can we sleep on the courthouse steps to wait?
Do we ask permission?
No. First Amendment's our permit.
I think the judge and the attorneys on Friday estimated that it would be 4 to 6 hours on Monday in terms of length of time.
The actual hearing took 2 days. It began on Monday at 9 o'clock, and it went all the way through to Tuesday at 3:30 or shortly thereafter. And it would have gone longer, except the judge said that we didn't need, those of us in the defense, or me specifically, I was the only one who called the defense witness, didn't need to call my witnesses because he was inclined to drop the case against me and didn't need an additional witness. But it lasted for 2 days. And of course, this whole thing has lasted for 11 months and is continuing to proceed into its second year for other people. Again, the crime fundamentally being a peaceful demonstration in a vacant bank building against a massively documented fraudulent bankster organization, Wells Fargo, which is still making profit hand over fist, isn't being significantly regulated in ways that would change the practices that it has been using to acquire property at the expense of families' homes, health, and safety. And I'm tired even talking about it because it's, I got to get a second wind before I do. But I've written about it a lot. I've written about this latest round of hearings a lot. And I'll probably be talking about it more on Sunday. Right now, I'm just going to be continuing to play some tapes and answer your phone calls. You can call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Some people just do not understand this because the critics of this who are supportive of the DA's prosecution or angry at Judge Burdick, of all people, who's, as far as I'm concerned, as not in any way really vindicated the defendants. He simply indicated there's no evidence they presented. They've been wasting everybody's time and inept and inadequate prosecution and police department if they actually were serious. We have a caller, though, and I will see what she or he has to say. Hello, caller. You're on Free Radio.
Uncle Robert, Uncle Dennis here.
Hey, Dennis. You were an observer of some of the proceedings on the last day of the court hearing.
Well, I was there both days, actually.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I guess you were...
Wasn't there all day Monday, but I was there most of the day on Monday.
I'm sorry, you had something you're going to call in about, but any reaction before you tell me what you were calling in about to what you saw?
Well, my reaction was that I think the district attorney did a lousy job, and I think the judge was fed up with it and sanctioned the district attorney's office $500, which I think was a minuscule amount considering the actual fraud and obfuscation that the DA did in terms of discovery. I feel like that the other four defendants that were held over probably should not have been, but you know, the judge decided what he wanted to do, and I'm glad that you and two other people got off, Becky, and I forget the third, Desiree?
Uh-huh, Desiree.
So, there certainly wasn't any evidence that you had done anything. Now, unfortunately, we didn't get to prove that you're a journalist, so that's still in doubt, Robert.
Well, as always, you know, I mean, there are those who are skeptical of that.
Yes, well, now to the reason I called in.
Yes, please.
There is a freeze warning for tonight, and I believe the freeze warning goes all the way through Saturday night at least. That means temperatures here in Santa Cruz will be below freezing. This is very difficult weather for people who are living outside, and it's important for our listeners who are living outside to seek warm shelter through the weekend. So... And if you could offer warm shelter to people who are outside, now's the time to do it. People could die.
Appreciate that warning, Dennis. And, again, you gave a similar warning a week or two ago on my show.
Yeah, well, we're in wintertime, and I just want to make sure that folks are aware of, you know, the fact that we are having some Arctic air coming down. A cold front came through earlier today. And the temperatures are dropping and will remain cold. Actually, I believe the coldest night of the week will be Saturday night. So where they expect the temperature in Santa Cruz itself to drop to 30 degrees.
Wow, I had heard up in Felton it was supposed to be in the 20s.
Yeah, I'm just saying that here in our listening area, it will be below freezing with Saturday night the coldest night.
Wow. Huh. Well, now's the time to take somebody in for a cup of coffee into the Santa Cruz Diner until, of course, they kick you out for sitting on the at the chair too long, even though the place is largely empty at night.
Well, I mean, if you buy a cup of coffee every hour, they probably wouldn't get too upset.
That's true. That would only cost you $2 an hour. The question is, can you make that much money panhandling? And after dark, of course, it's illegal to panhandle.
Well, you know, if you have to get arrested, the jails are warm.
Or relatively warm, anyway. Warmer.
Warmer. If you freeze to death in the Santa Cruz County Jail, then your relatives can sue.
But they probably won't, and I'm sure that they'll find an excuse, probably because you are, they'll find evidence of drugs in your system, perhaps.
Either that or they'll throw you out in the street. Hmm. Anyway, Robert, I will see you in half an hour or so.
Sounds good. Anything coming up that people should know that's going to be on the air today?
Well, just that, you know, more great music starting at 8 o'clock, and then, of course, at 9 o'clock, what I spend a lot of energy on is the Earth First Update environmental news show, a half an hour of environmental news, and we have some interesting stuff, including information about frankenfish. There's been a settlement in the pepper spray lawsuit, $1 million going to those folks who were pepper sprayed up at Davis. The whales have been freed off of Quebec, and Zambia has banned the hunting of lions and leopards. So hear about all that at 9 o'clock tonight.
That sounds great. Are these shows archived for people who want to find them?
Yes. They're at h2opodcast.com. You go to Earth and then Earth First Radio, and the shows are archived there.
All right. It's h2opodcast.com. And go to Earth First Radio on that site.
And then Earth First Radio.
Earth and then Earth First Radio.
Yeah.
Okay. For those who aren't able to make it into your show, they can catch the highlight there.
Yes, they can.
Hey, well, I'll see you then shortly, Dennis.
All right, Robert. Bye.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Hey, perhaps you think the Santa Cruz 11 deserved a harsher treatment. Call in if you want to talk about that. Perhaps I shouldn't be inviting such comments, but if that's your feeling and you want to make a statement about it, or you have a question or a comment that you think hasn't been covered, or you feel that some misinformation is being covered up, or there's some misinformation being given, please do call in 427-3772. I'm taking a quick note here that Dennis's archives are available. I've never looked them up, but it sounds interesting. I may begin a different practice. So, if you want to catch me off air, you have some comments you want to make, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF, H-U-F-F, is the acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights group I work with. And it meets every Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe on 703, at 703 Pacific. 10 o'clock in the morning, and we actually met there yesterday and chatted around a bit. Many of the people were exhausted, and the meeting was smaller than usual because people had been going steady. Starting with Friday, there was a readiness hearing for the Santa Cruz 11, Sunday a benefit, Monday and Tuesday preliminary hearings, so it was quite a grueling ordeal for those who wanted to keep up with it, particularly for those of us who were in the middle of it. Luckily, it did provide an opportunity to get some radio interviews and taping of some really, I thought, well put together speeches. You can also follow some more of the details and some of my commentary and that of others on Santa Cruz Indie Media, as well as a great photo coverage of the hearings by Alex DeRosi, who was also a member of the Santa Cruz 11, who was early on with Bradley Stewart Allen dismissed after forking out a lot of money to local attorneys to defend and bringing in a lot of witnesses, including the esteemed, by some and reviled by others, Mike Rotkin, who spoke on behalf of Bradley Stewart Allen as one of his journalism students, indicating that sort of that subtext was, why the fuck are you going after journalists? And probably the answer is because we can and we don't want you writing this kind of nasty stuff about our police department and our district attorney's office and our city and our banks and so forth. Actually, I don't really think that that's a motivation that's conscious in the minds of those who are prosecuting, those who are recommending prosecution, and those even who are supporting prosecution, there is this sort of mythological fantasy that there's this august, neutral structure, the law, which protects everyone, and which if people cross the law, then they need to be held accountable, taken to trial, jailed if found guilty or fined, regardless of what the actual specifics of the situation are, and regardless of whether the law is being opportunistically used to go after political protesters, which is, to me, clearly the case here and has been in a number of prosecutions or at least police actions over the last year and a half against the Occupy movement. Anyway, if you want to read more about it, go to Indie Media, Santa Cruz Indie Bay, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, one story by Alex DeRosi. Preliminary hearing begins for seven defendants associated with 75 River Street occupation. And you can see some fine photos of me on this site. Excellent. There's some interesting dialogue between Linda LeMaster and the infamous troll Sum Dim. And I do call him a troll, although maybe he would call himself a commentator. He is very sarcastic about the criticisms of the justice system and the police department, and denounces us with no problem. But he does say that he feels that he congratulates us on our what he calls our acquittal. We weren't acquitted of anything because we were never tried. There wasn't even enough evidence to get the case to a jury. The case was dismissed for lack of evidence after 11 months of abuse in the courts, specifically orchestrated by Bob Lee and his underling Rebecca Young, or let's say tolerated by Lee. And I got the impression Young was like working on a homework assignment where we got to we were the victims of that particular assignment, and quite dehumanizing. Anyway, this particular I may talk about it more on Sunday, but I suggest you might enjoy some of these stories on Santa Cruz Indie Media. There's the one I just mentioned, and there's a more recent one, Santa Cruz 11 down to 4 and conspiracy charges dismissed at preliminary hearing, which is an interesting story as well. Again, written and photographed by Alex DeRosi, and this one has more extensive commentary by me, which you can also find in some of the earlier stuff. Check it out. Let's hear some more now from the Santa Cruz 11 benefit.
2 or 3 days.
Attempt to influence decisions going on made inside the courthouse.
Is Ed Fry, who himself defended the Occupy movement legally, was himself convicted of 647E, the penal code about lodging, where he was essentially defending, well, he initiated a protest attacking the sleeping ban actions of local authorities and the law, and the discriminatory behavior by judges against one of his clients, a man who since died, Robert Blind Bear Facer. And this pre-Occupy action in 2010 was called Peace Camp 2010. It lasted for 3 months. One of them where Fry was actually able to provide a toilet facility and a sleeping area for homeless people that the Homeless Lack of Services Center and all the mayor's horses and all the mayor's men couldn't seem to get together in Santa Cruz. But, of course, they went after the people who were there with the prosecutions and drove them into the bushes, as they did a year later at Occupy Santa Cruz. I guess the optimistic thing is people have come back at least once in greater numbers in the Occupy movement. But who knows what's going to happen in 2013. And that's probably one of the reasons for this kind of prosecution against the Santa Cruz 11. They want people to be afraid of any kind of mass actions that challenge existing laws, even though existing laws are literally killing people who have no choice but to sleep outside and who are discouraged from seeking community or protective covering, whose property is regularly stolen and seized, who are denied basic human dignity and the right to be in public spaces, and who the police essentially encourage the community to adopt a mob attitude against. It's a pretty bad situation. I've talked about it, and we'll continue to talk about it on the air. And let's hear more from this Santa Cruz 11 benefit from last Sunday at India Joe's restaurant.
Misdemeanor. So you're putting yourself out there. I'm not trying to discourage you from being there and doing that. I'll be there and help doing that myself.
Yeah.
But just be aware that there's a possibility that the DA will use this as a further opportunity to oppress us.
And that's Ed Frye, again, talking about the dangers of picketing outside the courthouse. I think he's wrong about this. I mean, I think I've never heard of people being arrested for picketing out the outside the courthouse during a trial, unless they're accused of trying to influence a jury, and there was no jury in this case since we were going before a judge who was weighing whether there was sufficient evidence to take this case to formal arraignment for the felony vandalism and the alleged conspiracy to commit felony vandalism, which is completely ridiculous. I'm not a vandal, and none of these other people are either, and it's absurd to claim this. It's an opportunity simply to go after activists. If you can claim that, oh, there was some vandalism and you're all guilty because you went into this building around the same time, during the same three-day period that other people did, or at least you were there at the beginning, and that's sufficient to tar you with the same brush. And it's just, of course, not. I mean, it's unreasonable. It's not true. And the judge found it was insufficient evidence in at least three of us. He should have found it for everybody. And that needs to be examined in detail. Perhaps I'll talk about it more on Sunday. You can read, again, some of the criticisms at both the Santa Cruz Patch, Santa Cruz Sentinel, and the Santa Cruz Indie Media sites, where I've written about it and so have others.
Sidewalk in front of the courthouse, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Judge Berdick, Robert said hi to him the other day. If you get there at 8, you'll get to the judge and go in.
Yeah. I asked him not to come, but he did anyway.
The thing I would add is if we pay attention to how things started in 2011, it was Los Indignados in Spain who started the ball rolling. And they're still together, they're still organizing, and their focus these days is on reconstructing their government. And I think we must do the same here. Not just react and respond to what the DA does to us, but we have to take the initiative to the government and say, we see things, the processes of government just don't work for us. And they don't work for anybody except the 1%, really. So I think we need to start thinking about how we need to reconstruct our government, because our government is not going to go away. Our government has 1,000 bases all over the world. Uh-huh. How are we going to reconstruct that if we just take the pure anarchist stance of, well, we don't want to be bothered with organizing? We need to organize and reconstruct our government. So we're going to be talking a lot about that in the future. Thank you.
And there's a common misconception, I think, that Ed Frye conveys, that somehow anarchists don't like to organize. I think they do. They just don't believe that government is, whether on a right-wing libertarian anarchist or a left-wing communist socialist anarchist or some other kind of anarchist, they tend to believe that the government is more the problem than the solution in this situation, that people don't need the authority of that particular group or even other authorities to act on, but they definitely need to organize. We all organize in order to get things done. In fact, it's the organizing at the community level that really gets things done. It has nothing to do with authoritarian structures in the government, the church, and the corporations. That we don't need those at all. In fact, those are structures that exploit, rip us off, and demean us. I think that's one way of describing at least my perception of what some anarchists I know and some anarchists I've read believe. I want to point out that Ed Frye is getting around to talk about one of his favorite subjects, full spectrum democracy, as he calls it. You can check out his website for more information on that. I've for years told him I think he's barking up the wrong tree with this one, but he's been zealous about it, and there's certainly nothing wrong with the idea of having requiring public officials to have regular meetings with citizens. He wants this done by lot. and at a regular basis and require that they think it would cause great changes in the government. I think it's extremely secondary and has little to do with changing the government basically at all. But it certainly would be, in a small way, an improvement, I think. And I want to commend him for not getting into it in any great detail. But Ed is a passionate and dedicated guy who isn't afraid not just to stand up for himself, but for literally hundreds of homeless people who, in the course of that month of July and August, came through the Peace Camp 2010, were able to use the facilities. When the city provided no restroom at night and no restroom facilities, he did. He paid for it. And no place to sleep, and he did. He slept there with them and protected them for a month and a half from the police assault, which would have happened much sooner if there hadn't been more so-called respectable activists in the community. And he suffered for it. He was convicted, and he had a month. He was sentenced to 6 months in jail, and he spent he got house arrest for because of the increasing jail overcrowding and the changes in the prison system, which were sending people to local jails. But good for him.
Here. Are almost done. Grant, you're not speaking? No. Okay. So, I'd like to say that we need some people for cleanup. So, if people could stay and help clean up, that'd be great. Helps Joe out a lot. He's done a lot for us today. Also, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and if you feel comfortable, give that person a hug and say, thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. Everybody, someone very special to me. The reason I am here today, the reason that I'm involved with 75 River, the reason I am...
This is Gabriella Ripley Phipps, who not only... is unfortunately one of the four who's still being forwarded for more charges. I think the preliminary arraignment is, or the arraignment is the 22nd of January coming up. But she stood with a number of other people in solidarity with homeless people whose campground was being destroyed by police goon squads under Chief Vogel. And she was originally arrested on, I guess, it was either $25,000 or $50,000 bail for... interfering with an officer or some ridiculous charge because she and a number of other activists were trying to document what the police were doing and also to give homeless people time to pick up their possessions as the police rampaged, or I should say they didn't rampage, they marched like a machine through the San Lorenzo campground December 8th, 2011, a year ago, destroying the homeless campground that was a community center for, an outdoor community center for 100 to 200 people around a large teepee structure with about 75 to 100 tents that have been set up. Hats off to Gabriella.
The radical person I am is my mother, Pamela Riverdale.
It should be said that all charges against Gabriella for supposedly interfering with officers in that massive, cruel sweep, the deportation activity that drove homeless people into the bushes by Vogel's stormtroopers, police officers from Santa Cruz Police Department, and I say stormtroopers in that capacity because that's what they were acting as, all charges were dropped the next day against her and the six or seven other people that were arrested with her. It was another example of the kind of police state action suddenly that... you know, there are those who say, well, it didn't go anywhere. They were just held in jail one day. But that's the kind of shock treatment, the kind of brutal, out of the blue, unreasonable use of force and police power that makes people reluctant to even consider asserting basic rights in the days ahead and in the year ahead. I think then that had its effect. I remember also the same police department standing in front of the Parks and Rec Department the next day when we attempted to walk to it and demand to know what's going on, where the authority was to destroy all the tents and camp and the camping material of the homeless people there, and giving them no alternatives. and Vogel's police force stood in front of the offices that suddenly all closed down, didn't allow us to come in and talk to the people during open office hours. It's like the most of the like a large number of police officers were bivouacked at City Hall. And when one photographer tried to take pictures, he was surrounded by the police, Alex DeRosi, and grilled and interrogated. When I attempted to cross the street, I was warned I would be arrested or at least ticketed for jaywalking. And I told Chief Vogel to just go right ahead and ticket me because I wanted to be in solidarity with Alex DeRosi across the street. The memories. Anyway, here's some more. I guess this is the sort of the conclusion of the Santa Cruz 11 benefit.
And today she met one of her dreams. She works in an industrial kitchen.
Today is Epiphany, which is today is the day that the wise men came, right? So we do have a cake for you guys, a Three Kings cake, and I hope all you get a sliver of it before you leave. Anybody finds the baby Jesus in their piece, it's very good luck. Anyway, I put that out. I am having a staff party shortly, so we're going to have to clear out fairly soon, but I do want to pass out cake. So.
And there's a lot of tape I have that was taken the next day at the preliminary hearing, and I'll be playing some of that on Sunday when I come back at 9:30 in the morning. Again, as I mentioned before, at 11 o'clock on Sunday when I do this show, there's going to be presumably a call-in from Jim Gottstein, who's working for Psychiatric Rights. And a little murky and choppy, the interview I had earlier in the show with the caller Margie, who I was trying to focus into a discussion that was going to get into the actual concerns about the living facility she was in. Perhaps that'll happen in a future show. Don't know. Again, as I said before, I'm really more interested in local conditions, but she did call me earlier today with some of these issues, and I wanted to give her an opportunity to speak about them, and she didn't really have much opportunity to do that, but perhaps in the future. So the Santa Cruz City Council is having its first regular meeting of the year coming up on next Tuesday, and I haven't seen the agenda yet. I did see the agenda for the previous special meeting. And I noticed that members for two subcommittees were appointed, and they were all members of the sort of right-wing clique that will be controlling the city council: Hillary Bryant, David Terrazas, Pamela Comstock, and Lynn Robinson. And that's quite a gang that's going to be running things. You have the minority will be Don Lane, Micah Posner. And I'm not quite sure if the third person for some reason eludes me at this moment. But I did talk to Micah, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, right before the show. I invited him to come on the show and talk about a few things. I wanted to acquaint him with the homeless Bill of Rights being proposed by Assemblyman Tom Ammiano. And I did give him a copy of a summary of that, as well as some local Santa Cruz links and concerns about that. He said he was going to familiarize himself with it and get back to me, come on the show in a couple weeks. And I also asked him for an update on the bike theft or blockade or stalemate that the police department has created by stopping the bike distribution to the bike church. And he would make no comment on that, saying it was working on it. And that pissed me off, frankly, but, I wish him luck in working on it. He said this, I think the same thing was said by Don Lane throughout the summer and the fall, and we got similar, I'm not talking about this, please keep a low profile comment from Micah Posner during the election campaign. I'm not too happy with that. But I will be continuing to invite the city council gang to answer some serious questions. I usually send a letter to the mayor at the beginning of her term. I haven't done that because I've been preoccupied with other matters, Santa Cruz 11, and will probably continue to be preoccupied with that matter, even though I'm not right now a defendant and don't expect to be recharged. But given the kind of hostility that the police department is publicly expressing towards Judge Burdick for his half-assed decision to let half of us go and send the rest of us on with these bogus charges, I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm not sure, you know, what's cooking, but we'll continue to just keep, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and we'll see how that goes. As I was saying before, the reason I speak about a conservative clique on city council is because I noticed the appointments. Robinson was appointed to the Metropolitan Transit Board of Directors to a term. Terrazas and Matthews and Comstock were appointed to the Library Joint Powers Authority Board. Comstock as an alternate. So it looks like they're appointing only their people. And this is getting far too mellow a response from people like Posner to please me. I was going to talk a little about the 1811 slave revolt in New Orleans, which I never heard about, but maybe it'll have to wait until Sunday. Just kind of a sort of historical aside. I think that it was the anniversary of that relatively a day or two ago, maybe even today. And again, as I said, come on back on Sunday morning, and I'll be running through some of these things, although I can never guarantee what I'm going to be doing. I've got a few other things, but the time is almost gone with the show. Uncle Dennis is due to show up soon, and he will be continuing his own good work. There was a medical marijuana patient sentenced to 10 years in jail by the feds recently, and I'll probably be playing his statement on Sunday. There was a Gitmo guard detainee who described systematic torture in the audio portion of a video, which I may be playing as well, and a lot more. So come on back. If you can't come back, check it out on the archives at huffsantacruz.org and go to the name of the show, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. And call in and tell me what you think. In the meantime, don't freeze out there tonight. If you see people who are, whip out the hot coffee. I would encourage people to open up a few buildings. You know, vacant buildings are the crime, as I said before. There are plenty of them around Santa Cruz, and I guess plenty of them are being squatted even as I speak. Be supportive of this when you see it. Affordable housing in Santa Cruz is a squat or a car for many people, and that's a reality. Let's end this with a little more from Annie DeFranco, a song called Unworry, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. Talk at you again on Sunday. One last thing, Food Not Bombs, I'm presuming it's going to be feeding under the eaves of the post office on Saturday at 4 o'clock, and there's some concern that there may be some kind of police action against them. At least one Food Not Bombs member expressed that concern at the Huff meeting, so you might want to go down there with your friends to keep an eye on it. The food was excellent last Saturday, and actually that's something I wasn't able to play. I didn't play yet, at least, which is the arrival of an employee of the post office demanding we leave. But on this occasion, if he called the police, they didn't come. And I mentioned that, I think, on the Sunday show, last Sunday show. I'll talk to you again on next Sunday's show. Thank you.
only ever be allies, even if the whole background is ours. And little pink hearts can pop over our heads, but we'll keep our cool. You know, I have enjoyed my life. It's been exciting. And I've become more peaceful. No more fighting. Round and round, sandbound grooves on an old pier. Nibbled by minnows and licked by a salty sea. And I gotta say, I'm amazed, not in a good way, how much I don't remember. I just gotta hope, though I'm slow, it's all part what I know. The facts are pretend anyway. Yeah, the facts are pretend anyway. We'll be right back.
a little something from the Iron Butterfly to start us off tonight here on From the Cream to the Dregs. Uncle Dennis here sitting in the warm chair. Robert's on the road, so he'll be back on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning for you. More about homeless issues and people's rights on Bathrobe Sabir's Broadsides. You are listening at this point to From the Cream to the Dregs, and we explore the music of the 60s and the 70s here every Thursday evening, starting right now, running till 11 o'clock. We do have a Brew of the Week that's coming up in a few minutes. We'll open that one up, kind of a special. Yeah, you can find it around. We'll tell you all about it. And, of course, at 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update, all the environmental news you can use. And, of course, at 10 o'clock, the Ultimate Vinyl Hour, where we play an actual record on a turntable. It's amazing, the things that happen. Anyway, stay tuned for more music right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM. And we're also out on the weird web at freakradio.org. If you're looking for our stream, you can go to our webpage and click on the little red dot. Not your boy.